ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. And we're in an in-depth study of this book here on Sunday mornings. We're actually in part four of a study dealing with contending for the faith. In our first study, we looked at faith once delivered. And here's the key. It's the faith that is once delivered. It's not any faith. It's not what you want it to be. It is the faith. And I told you, my word program wanted to take the out of there and just have faith. And that's kind of what the world likes to do. Remove the faith. It's specific. It was delivered to the apostles and the prophets. And it was for them as well as for us today. It doesn't get changed. We're not to compromise what we believe. Like I said before, we didn't write this book, and since we're not the author of the Bible, we have no right to change what's written in the Bible. Only God does, and God's unchanging, so we don't have to worry about that. In part two of our study, we looked at faith to contend for. We talked about this is something we are to contend for. This faith is worth dying for. It's not a new fad for today and will change tomorrow. We've seen over the years the many who have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't think a whole lot about it today. In fact, we don't like to contend because we say, well, you know, we don't want to get into too much doctrine because doctrine divides. Well, no. We're to contend for the doctrine, for the Word of God. And we looked at last time faith threatened from within, and we see that. People within the church who don't believe in the basic foundational Christian doctrine, pastors, leaders, who don't believe in the blood atonement, don't believe Jesus is Almighty God, they don't believe in the gospel message, and they're bringing this false teaching to the people in their congregations. Again, very dangerous. And we have to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Our last study this morning with contending for the faith is going to focus on we are to contend. The problem today, like in generations past, but probably more are involved in this today, is that we become lazy in what we believe. Many go to church, they may even read their Bible once in a while, but when they face confrontation, they back off and they don't want to say anything against false doctrine, or they'll compromise and agree with what the person is saying so they don't rock the boat, they don't tip the boat over, baby, you know how that goes. I'll share this with you. This is what one writer had to say. He said, spiritual laziness is the inability to take action because of fear. It's also the tendency to seek an easy way out rather than the difficult path that God wants us to take. When we allow fear to rule our lives, it becomes easier for us to do nothing. We become so fearful that we won't even try something new. However, we all know deep down that we should be doing something different, but we don't want to make any choices to do something different because of the fear of the unknown. Fear can creep into every area of our lives, including our spiritual walk with God. When it controls us, it can lead us down a path of destruction and despair. Spiritual laziness happens when we think it's too much work to spend time with God in prayer, Bible reading, and meditation. Therefore, instead of doing the things that will help us grow closer to God, we take the easy way out by trying to do things our own way and relying on our own strength rather than trusting in His power. And really, that's how false teaching gets into a person's life and how it gets into the church. No one wants to do anything about it. Maybe because of a friendship they have with the person, maybe because they think the person is spiritual and they wouldn't lie or teach something that's wrong. But you know what? You're to check everything out with the Scriptures. What I say, I'm a human being. I'm fallible. I'm not infallible. Only God is. And we have to be careful. That's what Paul spoke about the Bereans. Remember the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? Luke tells us these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What things? The things that Paul was teaching. Imagine they were checking Paul the Apostle out to see if what he was saying was true. So we should be checking teachers out to see if what they're saying is true or not. And how did they do it? They searched the Scriptures daily. They were in the Word of God. And that is so important for us. See, they wanted to make sure all that Paul was saying was in line with what the Bible had to say. So they received the words of Paul with an open heart, but then they checked them out. I like that. That's great. And they found out what Paul said was absolutely true. You know, again, one writer said, folks, the power is in the Word. It's not what do you think or what do I think, but what does God say? How many problems would be solved? How many questions would be answered if people would only take the time to study the Scriptures daily? Faith comes not by encounter sessions or group therapy, but by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes to those who are in the Word, for only the Word can affect lives, change hearts, strengthen faith, and renew minds. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you know, there are people, and I hear them today, you know, you have to hear this. No one's ever seen this before in the Bible. Oh, so we've waited all these years for you to come along. No one else has seen this. You know what? Let's see what the Scriptures have to say. And usually you just run away from these people. Because if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. It's as simple as that. I think Pastor Chuck said that. It's not complicated. You just let the Scriptures speak for themselves. If it's in the Word of God, praise God. If it's not, put it off to the side. We have to contend for this faith that's been entrusted to us because the pretenders are coming and they're here. Paul said that they profess to know God, but in works they deny him being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Yeah. You know, there is the battle for the truth. And isn't that a problem today that it's difficult to know what the truth is? You can have the most bizarre idea and probably go to the internet and justify what you believe. Doesn't mean it's true. Well, how do I know truth? Well, here's one thing. When it comes to how we are to live out our faith, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus and what he's done for us, there's only one truth, and it's found in the Word of God. If people want to contradict that, that's up to them. But I'm going to trust what God has to say because he's never been wrong, and he never will be wrong. Spurgeon said, I cannot endure false doctrine, however neatly it may be put before me. Would you have me eat poisoned meat because the dish is of the choicest ware? Yeah. Another writer, or Spurgeon also said, the new views are not the old truth in a better dress, but deadly errors with which we can have no fellowship. Absolutely. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to contend for the faith. And by the grace of God, with his help, we'll know the truth, and the truth sets us free from the lies, guys. That's the wonderful thing. So let's pick up Jude chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 this morning. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have to contend for the faith? Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We're living in those latter times. And we're seeing these things come to pass. We call it apostasy. You know, there are those that claim to be Christian, but what they believe regarding salvation and God, no way. They're pretenders. And some are outright just false, and they have no qualms about it. They speak very arrogantly, and they're not saved. And Paul told Timothy, what they're teaching is doctrines of demons. You know, people get upset. Oh, how could you say that about someone? I'm not. Paul is. So if you're mad at me, don't be. Be mad at Paul. Because there are the truths of God found in the Word of God, and then there's those that are opposed to God's Word, and those are doctrines of demons. And we see it with the cults. That's obvious. But it's growing in the church today as seminaries are pouring false teaching into these future leaders. And when they graduate, they're overseeing churches and teaching their people these things. And, you know, this is what we are contending for, or contending against, I should say. These false teachers, these false leaders, these pretenders of faith. This is not what Jude wanted to write. But this is what the Holy Spirit led him to because of the problem in his day. And obviously the Holy Spirit knew the problem in our day. But we even see it in the Old Testament. We shouldn't be surprised by these things. In Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? And there it is. That's for us today. All these false teachers with their false prophecy, all the things that they're saying, ruling by their own power, not by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. And the people love it. Why? Because their ears are tickled. And they seek out these teachers that will tickle their ears. But the big question is, what are you going to do in the end? Well, what does that mean? What are you going to do when you stand before the Lord and you don't have a relationship with Him? What are you going to do in the end? That's a big question. And as much as this was a problem in Jeremiah's day, they loved these lies, these deceptions, we see it today. You know, we tend to like to be entertained at church. As you know, I'm not an entertainer. I even my jokes you groan at, okay, so I don't tell them too often. But church is not for entertainment. Church is for worship, to hear from God. If I want to go and be entertained, I'll go see a movie or play or whatever. But that's not what's here. When I teach, my prayer is always, Lord, may you convict my heart and the hearts of the people. You know, I'm not giving this message to you guys. The Lord gave it to me to speak to me. You just get to listen in on what the Lord gave me, okay? And yeah, we should feel the conviction of God. You know, Richard H. Neubauer, he lived 1894 to around the 1894 time frame. He said, the liberals a generation ago can now be applied to the preaching of the evangelical church. He said, a God without wrath brings men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through a ministration of a Christ without a cross. There it is. You've taken Jesus out of the picture. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't this what it's all about? Jesus, the gospel message. Apart from that, we don't have anything. And this is what's coming into the church. George Whitefield, he lived 1714 to 1770, and he wrote regarding the passages that we read in Jeremiah, as God can send a nation of people no greater blessing to give them faithful, sincere, upright ministers, so the greatest curse that God can possibly send upon a people in this world is to give them over to blind, unregenerate, carnal, lukewarm, unskillful guides. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to speak forth the truths of God found in the Word of God with the love of God to a people who are far from God so that they may come to know God. There's the key. Are we to expose false teaching? Absolutely. And how did these people get into the church? Jude said they crept in unnoticed. They got in. No one was paying attention. Wow. How do we recognize an apostate church? Sound biblical doctrine is abandoned. Now they're just stories. There'll be an overemphasis on the central in our experience as a means to reach God rather than the Word of God. So it's experience-driven. Believe me, experiences, we have experiences with God, but those experiences are always in line with the Word of God, not apart from it. Also, an attempt to desensitize the masses by an acceptance of social norms and sins condemned in the Bible. Man, do we see that today. Accepting all kinds of sin into the church. You know, we love these people, so we don't judge them. Well, if you love them, then you will tell them what they're doing is wrong. You will bring them to Jesus. But if you don't love them, you just let them do whatever they want. And then also a move towards ecumenicalism, you know, a one world religion. And again, we see that. There is no way the Church of Jesus Christ can join a one-world church. There's no way. Unless, you know what, you take Jesus out. And isn't that what we see in the Scriptures, right? In Revelation, in the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor, What was the church of Laodicea? Where was Jesus? He's outside the church knocking to get in. So this is the apostate last days church where Jesus is not even in the church. He's knocking for them to open the door. You see, that's how you become part of the one world church. You ignore all the doctrine. You take Jesus out and you can become part of it. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's straightforward. There's no exceptions. There's no other way you can go. It's only through Jesus. But now you take him out of the picture, and you can be part of this global church. There is, again, is the danger. Daniel Webster made this comment in 1823. He said, if religious literature is not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I do not know what is going to become of us as a nation. Interesting, huh? If truth is not diffused, error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. Did he nail that? Now, you would think he's speaking today. That was way back in 1823, and he nailed it. Look at our country today. Look at what is going on, the immorality, the violence, the no respect for people at all. We've taken God out of the picture. What do you have? It's replaced with the darkness. And we've allowed this to come into our nation because I think we've become lax as Christians. You know, every other group is very bold to stand up for what they believe in, right? But, oh, I don't want to, you know, upset anyone. Well, you're going to upset people. Everywhere Paul went, he upset people, right? The poor guy. Everywhere he went, he'd go in the Jewish synagogues to teach first, and they would throw him out. And then he'd go to the Gentiles, and they were a little bit more open. But yeah, we're to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Paul told Timothy, a young pastor in 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. In other words, Timothy, teach the people the word of God. Build them up. They need to be spiritually healthy. Think about it. If we ate junk food all the time, we would not be physically healthy and we'd be prone to illness, right? The same is true spiritually speaking. We need to be built up in the faith so we're not taken in by these false teachings. And the focus is on godliness, holiness. Exercise yourself towards godliness. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 5 through 5. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Why is that so important? He says, for the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they're going to turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So what was Timothy supposed to do? Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Well, again, in season and out of season, when people want to hear it and they don't want to hear it. You know, when my kids were growing up, they didn't want to eat their vegetables, but they needed to eat their vegetables. And so we made them eat their vegetables because it was healthy for them. The same is true for us. Maybe we're in a season where we don't want to really hear the word of God because we're feeling a lot of conviction. But Paul tells Timothy, don't stop just because they don't want to hear it. Don't use that to build up your church by watering things down or making it more entertaining. You preach the word of God when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, because it's what's needed. And that's important today. This is the role of ministry, to preach the word of God. Now, again, you may be thinking, what does this have to do with contending for the faith? You have to teach these people that God has entrusted to you the truths of God found in the Word of God, so they're prepared for battle. Now, you may feel that you're not me. I'm fine. I would never be taken in by false teaching. These guys are good. They're slick. You know, I'm not picking on car salesmen, but I've been taken in by them. Sorry. We bought a car. It was only used by one, and I hate to use this expression, but it was a little old lady. One person owned this car, and we needed a car bad. We had a young family, and this guy said, the car's been checked by our mechanics. Everything is fine. And I trusted him. I mean, he was like a grandfather to me, you know? I was young back then. And so I trusted him. He's not lying to me. You know, this looks like a nice car. There's not a lot of rust on it. This will do for our family. And we got out driving, and Julie said she started going 40, 45, 50, and the whole car started to vibrate, shake. Well, that's not good. I'm not a mechanic, but that's not good. And so she took it in and got it checked. And I guess I think they're called tie rods. Thank you. I know nothing about cars. And the guy at the repair shop said, I'm sorry, you can't even drive this car home because that is so rusted that it could just break and you're going to be in serious trouble. Well, we got sold a lemon here. So we would go back to the dealership and I said, hey, look, you said this car got checked. We got it. It's doing this, and now we got it checked, and they said the whole thing's ready to fall apart. And the guy looked at me like he didn't even know me, wouldn't even talk to me. You see, that's how good they are at selling a product, these false teachers. Jim Jones, I'll give you an example, Jim Jones. Some of you know that. I'll explain them to you. He started out teaching the Bible. He had Bible studies. But then he started going a little bit off. Not a lot, you know, come on, just a little bit here and there. It got to the point he moved his congregation to Guyana. I think they were in Indiana. Then he started to teach that he's God. Think, oh man, if we heard that, we would be out in a sight. Understand, he didn't start out that first Bible study saying he was God. It was slowly moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God till they got to the point where now he said that he was God, and they were worshiping him, and what, several hundred people died drinking the cyanide grape juice. That's how dangerous it is. They don't start way out there, but they start off just a little bit, and they get farther and farther away. That's the danger. Paul again told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yeah, fight that good fight of faith. It's a battle out there. You know, I don't like confrontation. I really don't. I love it when things go smoothly, but you know, the Lord has other plans many times. You have to deal with issues. You have to deal with problems. And I always thank God that he has always given me the words to say or let me know what I needed to do. But we're in a battle. And I always think about salmon when they're going upstream, the battles they face. And I've watched these salmon, and I'm like, are you crazy? How much easier just to do nothing and just drift back downstream? But no, they forge ahead. And that's what we're doing. I mean, look at this world today. Look at our society today. How much they're coming against what we believe, the truths of God found in the Word of God. And it's only going to get worse. You know, look at the companies where you get a job and you have to have your woke training, right? You know, you have to accept all kinds of rarity lifestyles. You could be whatever you want to be that day. They're making us or trying to conform us into the image of the world. But God said, let me transform your life by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? By the Word of God. You see, there's the key. And it is a battle. But the Lord is always with you. You know, I think we lose sight of that. We're not doing these things in the power of our own strength. We're doing them by the power of God working in us and through us. And we better be in prayer in these days. I mean, believe me, I thank God for all those that were praying for Vacation Bible School. I mean, we had an awesome week. It was challenging, no doubt, but an awesome week. What great weather. Usually it's about, 222 degrees out when we have vacation. I'm exaggerating a little. It's probably only 190. But next week it's supposed to be really warm. So, praise God, we had a really good week and just the blessing. But that was because of prayer. It wasn't because we put together such a great program. No, it was prayer, and God was working with those kids because He loves them more than we do.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.